Father, we come before you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. We thank you, Father, for all of the benefits that we have as your children. And your word tells us not to forget those benefits. And God, I thank you for the salvation that you've given us. I thank you for what you've saved us from. I thank you for what you saved us to. I thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity this morning to freely and openly minister your word. I just thank you for the anointing that's upon me and that's upon your word. And I just pray that you would have complete control this morning, that it would be all of you and none of me. And everything you once said is exactly what is said. I pray, Father, that as your word goes forth, that you would help us to be very attentive to your word and that we would let it speak to our hearts this morning. And we thank you for what you're going to do in the altar service here this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, what God has led me to preach on this morning is one aspect of salvation. And there's so many different things about salvation that we could talk about, but he's led me to preach on that salvation is only through God's grace. Now, I hope you really let that sink in. We cannot be saved any other way other than God's grace. So if that's how we're saved, it's very important that we understand what grace is. Grace is undeserved kindness. Undeserved kindness. If you deserved it, it would not be called grace. It would be called a reward. If it's something that you've done that you've deserved, it would be a reward for your efforts. But since it is undeserved, then it is grace. Someone put it this way. They said that grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Did you catch that? That's good. Let me repeat that. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. And in our day and age, the concept of God's grace, God giving his love and his salvation free with no strings attached, goes against everything that everybody else is teaching. And if you look at the Buddhist, they have different certain things you have to do. The Hindus, they have certain things you have to do. The Jews have their laws that you have to keep. The Muslims have their laws and their precepts that you have to keep. Christ is the only one that's ever said it's a free gift. God's love is unconditional. You cannot deserve it. You cannot earn it. But you can receive it. Amen. That is a very, very, very important part of this message. Back in 2001, Reader's Digest asked Muhammad Ali what his faith meant to him. And of course, he's not a Christian, but his idea, his view on faith is like many, many, many people. He said, well, when you die, you will be judged by God. God is going to look at how many good deeds you've done and how many bad deeds you've done. If the good outweighs the bad, you go to heaven. But if the bad outweighs the good, you go to hell. Now, folks, that doesn't even really make sense, does it? I often wonder, well, what if you've done exactly the same amount of good you have bad? You just suspended in midair? I mean, you know, it doesn't even really make sense. But a lot of people believe that, but that is not what the Bible has to say about salvation at all. Over in Ephesians, Paul tells us this. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works. It is a gift of God. You and I can never do enough good to earn salvation. Now stop and think about that. How would you ever earn enough or do good enough to earn salvation? I've used this illustration before, but let me reemphasize it one more time. Let's say that you have to earn salvation. Well, first of all, the Bible doesn't give us any indication of how far you have to go. What if you do enough good deeds to get to right here, but to earn heaven is right there? Well, that'd be sad, wouldn't it? But you cannot earn it. There's absolutely no way. You have to be saved by grace. You need undeserved salvation. You need God's grace because no one can ever be saved apart from God's grace. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a moment, but I want to spend just a few minutes on showing you what salvation is. And every one of these subjects that I'm getting ready to mention literally could be a message with their own, so we're just going to barely touch every one of these. But I think it's important that we understand to some extent what we get when we get salvation. The first thing we need to know about salvation is that Jesus was our substitute. Sin had to be paid for. Sin had to be paid for. First Peter tells us Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Sin had to be paid for. Jesus was our substitute. He has already paid the penalty of sin. But if we do not receive His crucifixion and His salvation, then we ultimately have to pay for our sins on our own by spending eternity in hell. Jesus was also our justification. In other words, Jesus made us right with God through salvation. I don't know about you folks, but being made right with God is very important in my book. That's what this is all about. A lot of people have a religion. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in Romans that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. In other words, He was raised to life to make us right with God. Jesus has also reconciled us to God. In other words, Jesus has made peace between us and God. He is the bridge between us and God. 2 Corinthians tells us that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And again, that goes back to Jesus has already paid the price. He has already paid the penalty so we can be reconciled to God. Another thing Jesus has done for us in salvation is He has made us a part of God's family. Amen. Now, folks, we ought to get more excited about that than we really do. Those of us that are Christians, that ought to be just shouting ground. And if you talk to someone that does not live in America and they have the opportunity to come live in America, they get excited about that. They'll do anything they have to do to get here. They even risk their life. They risk their family's life. Well, we don't have to risk anything. We have been adopted. If we're Christians, we have been adopted into the family of God. We are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that's all because of Jesus. Amen. Jesus has redeemed us, or He has bought us back with His blood. First Peter tells us, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We could never save ourselves, but Jesus saved us because He was also the propitiation for our sin. Now, that's a big word. It took me years to learn how to say that, so every time I get a chance, I like to say it, because that's a hard one for a guy from Hawkeye to say. But that simply means that He satisfied God's judgment. He fulfilled God's requirement for salvation. The Bible tells us that Jesus coming and dying on the cross met God's standard so He could give us mercy. And the last thing that Jesus did was that He gives us forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace." So we have that forgiveness of sin. And it goes on to say, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So folks, that's just some of the things that Jesus did. And the amazing part of all this is He chose to do all of this. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie called Saving Private Ryan, but it's about some men, some soldiers that are ordered to go deep into the enemy territory to save this Private Ryan. All of his brothers have been killed in the war except for him. And they, for the mercy of his mother, they send this group of soldiers into the enemy territory to save him, so at least his mother will have one son left. I think it was either four or five of his brothers that had been killed. Well, these men are going after Private Ryan, and they come into one skirmish after another, and some of the men die on the way, and they finally get to where Private Ryan is, And they say, you have to come with us. And he said, I'm not going anywhere because there's getting ready to be a big battle here and I will not run off and forsake my fellow soldiers. Well, these rangers that had been sent after him said, well, we will stay and fight with you when the war's over, when the battle's over, then we'll take you home. So they all stay and they fight this battle, and almost everybody in that battle dies except for Private Ryan. At the end of the movie, one of the soldiers who is portrayed by Tom Hanks is sitting on the ground. He's been shot. He's wounded. He's dying. And Private Ryan leans down to him, and Tom Hanks whispers to him, earn this. Well, now, if you know anything about Rangers, you know that that's not true, not a true statement, because the Rangers' motto is, I chose this. In other words, the Rangers are saying, I chose to give my life up for you voluntarily. Well, folks, same thing is true about Jesus Christ. When we look at the cross and we see Jesus hanging there, one thing you will never hear him say is, you have to earn this. Instead, what we hear him say is, I chose this. You don't have to earn anything. We need to understand that salvation is a gift to receive, not a reward to earn. It goes against our thinking, but folks, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. So basically, you are earning your death through sinning, and the word death is talking about eternal separation from God. It's not just the dying physically that we know of. It is eternally being separated from God. So you have to earn your death. But it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Now stop and think about that. We earn death. We earn eternal separation from God. But on the other hand, God says, you don't have to earn that. I will give you eternal life. Amen. I like what John Stott said. He said, the gospel is good news of mercy to the undeserving. If you stop and think about it, the symbol of Christianity is the cross. It's not a pair of scales. God does not weigh anything when it comes to us being saved. We simply have to go before the cross and humble ourselves and ask Him to be our Savior. Now, I want you to listen to me closely for the next few minutes. For some reason, a lot of people try to complicate salvation. Like I've already said, it is a free gift. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. There's nothing that we can do personally other than receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. But even if you were a member of a good church like Centerpoint, that will not save you. I know people that have been in the church for years thinking that's all they have to do, and church cannot save you. Yes, the church is vitally important. Coming to church is very important. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, but there's nowhere in the Bible it even hints that attending church will save you. You can sleep in a garage your entire life and you'll never become a car. You can come to church. In fact, I know of a lady right now, she goes to church 7 days a week for about 2 to 3 hours a day, and that lady's just as lost as anybody I've ever seen. So going to church cannot and will not save you. You cannot be saved by good works. Again, a lot of the religions, in fact, the majority of the religions in the world, demand that you do good works to achieve what they call salvation. And even in Christianity, a lot of people think that doing good works will save them. A lot of people think giving up things will save them. I've talked to people before, says, well, I've given up smoking, or I've given up cussing, or I've given up lying, or I've given up my sexual lust, or I've given up drinking, or whatever it is. I'm like, that's good. We all need to do that. But that has nothing to do with receiving salvation. Nothing to do with that. Baptism will not save you. A lot of people think, well, if I just go get wet, I'll get saved. No. Again, baptism is vitally important, but it has nothing to do with being saved. Even living in a Christian family won't save you. Diana's a great example of that. Her dad was a preacher. Diana grew up in a Christian family, and it wasn't until she was 14 that she finally realized, Mom and Dad are saved. Mom and Dad are good Christians. My dad's even a pastor, but I got to get saved. She realized that being in a good Christian home has nothing to do with her being saved. And of course, they did facilitate her being saved, but we have to understand it takes more than just living in a Christian home. And being morally good will not save you. Now, that is one of Satan's most deceptive lies. People think by just being morally good, they're going to make it to heaven. Just like what I told you about Muhammad Ali a while ago. Well, if I do more good than I do bad, surely God will let me into heaven. Well, surely he won't, because the Bible tells us that has nothing to do with it. It is not by works, it's by grace. We are saved by grace and through grace and only through grace. Let me give you some more things that salvation is not. Salvation is not turning over a new leaf. There are a lot of people around the first of the year, they always make these New Year's resolutions. Well, those are good, even though most people don't keep them more than a week or two. But salvation is not turning over a new leaf. Salvation is not remorse over what you've done. Now, there is some remorse most of the time when you get saved, but just being remorseful alone will not save you. It is not penitence, or in other words, it's not trying to make up for your sin in the past. You can't make up for it. Jesus is the only one that could do that. In fact, let me put it to you this way. I think this will be as clear as I can make it. God is not primarily interested in convincing you to give up your cussing or your drinking or your smoking or your sexual desires or your lying or your stealing or whatever you're doing. He is not primarily interested in getting you to give those things up. God is primarily interested in you being forgiven of your primary sin, which is the rejection of Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you stop and think about it, folks, that is the only thing that will send you to hell. That is the only sin you have to commit, is rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But receiving Him as your Savior is the only thing that can get you to heaven also, and that's the good news. So let me share this with you for a second. How do I receive the gift of salvation? How do I receive this gift of grace? Well, it is so simple. Don't complicate it. I'm getting ready to give it to you just as simple as it can be. So don't complicate this one bit. The Bible tells us to receive the gift of salvation, first of all, we have to admit that we are sinners. We have to admit that we have sinned and that we have come short of the glory of God. That we have missed the mark, and we understand and realize that we are sinners. We receive the gift of salvation by believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he rose from the dead. The Bible tells us that very plainly over in Romans, and we're going to read that here in just a minute. And then the third thing that we have to do is simply call on God for salvation. So admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he rose the third day, and then call on God to be saved. Don't complicate it. So many people are trying to save themselves. You cannot save yourself. You cannot earn salvation. It is a free gift. Now let me read over here in Romans chapter 10, where God makes it very clear, basically reiterating what I just said. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now let me stop right there. That is a spiritual law. If you do what God says, you have to be saved. It doesn't matter what kind of mood God's in today. It doesn't matter if he's already met his quota of salvations today. It's a spiritual law. Again, he says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So folks, here's what I'm asking you today. Here's the invitation. Will you receive God's gift of salvation this morning? Are you willing to admit that you're a sinner? That you know that you're headed straight to the pit of hell right now because of the sin in your life, because sin has to be paid for? Are you willing to admit that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died for your sins, and that He rose victorious on the third day? And are you willing to call out to God to be saved? If you'll do those three simple things, then you can receive the free gift of salvation. It's not complicated. The good news is, after we get saved, then we have the Holy Spirit to help us get our lives straightened out. That's why it's so hard. Before, we don't have the help we need. We're trying to do it on our own, and you cannot get yourself straightened out on your own. Just like New Year's resolutions, you might make them, but they're not going to last. But when we get saved and we have the Holy Spirit working in us, then He can help us do the things that we need to do, because our flesh is weak. Our flesh is very weak. We have to have the Spirit of God in us to help us. And receiving salvation, like I said, is so easy, and it's so important. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Why is today the day? Because it's so important. Why would you want to put it off another single day? Why would you? With all the things that we told you about earlier that we receive through salvation, we're not only saved from our sins, we are saved to eternal life and life abundantly here on this earth. The Bible tells us so many great benefits about salvation. So I invite you today, do not put it off another day. I'm going to ask Marlene and Bill if they would come with invitation and ask you to stand with us, and let's pray. Father, we come before you with as thankful of a heart as we know how. Father, we thank you for giving us the gift of salvation. And it's hard for us to fathom, but Jesus chose to go to that cross. And He chose to give His life, and He chose to pay the penalty for our sins that we might have eternal life. And God, I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning that's never received Jesus as their Savior, that you would surround them with your love and show them that you love them so much that you gave your Son so that they might come into the kingdom of heaven and into the family of God, and that they could have eternal life. Just thank you, Father, for what you're going to do here in this service this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.